Welcome to the Finding True Health podcast, episode number 44. Today, we're going to dive into where BMI or body mass index came from and why I really dislike using the labels that come from BMI, such as underweight, overweight, and obese. But as always, I like to look at both sides of the coin on these sorts of issues. So we'll also take a look at when BMI might be useful as well. If you feel any sort of shame around your BMI category, this is definitely an episode you are not going to want to miss. And even if you're fine with your BMI category, I still think this episode is really going to help you have a better understanding of why BMI really should be taken with a grain of salt. So I'm excited to dive in. Let's get going. Are you ready to be done with diets? Done trying to mold your body to fit unrealistic beauty standards? Do you want to create a healthy lifestyle simply to feel better and have more energy each day? Do you want to finally find food freedom? Hey, I'm Jenna, a registered dietitian nutritionist. Not long ago, I was an overwhelmed mom and struggled to make myself a priority. I hated my body and wondered how I could stop beating myself up every time I looked in the mirror. I also felt frustrated about my health and wished I could get myself to exercise consistently, eat more vegetables, eat less sugar, you know, actually do the things I knew could improve my mood and energy levels. But I kept telling myself I didn't have enough time or motivation or willpower or, well, you get the idea. But with some help from God, I was able to turn my health and life around. And I want to help you do the same. In this podcast, you'll find trustworthy nutrition information, critical mindset shifts, and actionable advice so you can feel better, fill your life with sustainable, healthy behaviors, and be confident in your own skin, no matter your size. So if you're ready to make peace with chocolate, but love your salad too, this is the podcast for you. Hello, my friends. How are you doing? Halloween is just a few days away here in the United States. So hopefully you're getting ready for that if you celebrate Halloween. I realize that not all of my listeners are in the United States. In fact, I looked my stats up the other day and I realized that I have listeners in 18 different countries now. It's such an amazing world that we live in, that we can share information between countries so easily. So I always like to keep in mind that not everybody celebrates the same holidays as I do, but many of my listeners will be celebrating on the October 31st, Halloween, and it also happens to be my daughter Talia's birthday. She'll be turning 12, so we're going to be planning a birthday party as well as all our Halloween celebrations. So it's a busy month for us, but it's a fun one. All right, let's dive into our topic of BMI today. Like I mentioned in the intro, BMI stands for Body Mass Index. And I just want to share kind of a little bit of my history around BMI. I have either been in the quote overweight or quote obese categories on the BMI charts pretty much my entire life. Even when I was running marathons and at what I would consider my fittest, according to like how the world would define fitness, I was still always in the overweight category. The only time I really came close to being a quote normal weight or maybe was there for a short period of time is when I was greatly underfeeding myself and overexercising. And I was just always so confused why I could never get into that normal weight category. I felt so much shame and frustration around the fact that I was, quote, overweight. And I just figured I must be doing something wrong. It never occurred to me that maybe I just have a larger bone structure or that because I worked out a lot, I had more muscle mass. I also do store excess fat a little easier than some people, and my body just tends to naturally want to be on the bigger side. And that's possibly because of the years of restriction, undereating, and overexercising that I did in my late teens and early 20s, that my body just feels safe at a bigger size. And all of those things combined caused me, my natural healthy body weight, to be at a higher weight. It wasn't my habits, it wasn't my lifestyle, it was nothing I was doing. And yet, again, I just felt like that category was completely in my control. Why could I not be normal weight? Now, in my later years, after my five kids, and when I crossed into the quote obese category, that took me to a whole other level of shame. Now I was a dietitian who was obese. I felt like a failure as a woman, a dietitian. being put in that obese category suddenly felt like I was at risk of all sorts of diseases, no matter what my lifestyle looked like. In my mind, just simply being obese meant that I was going to get type 2 diabetes and have all these health issues because now I was in that category. Ha! The mental drain and emotional power I gave my BMI category just makes me so sad now looking back. I know many dietitians and healthcare providers in the health at every size space really, really dislike using the labels presented in the BMI charts, underweight, overweight, and obese, largely because of the reasons I just shared. In fact, I know a lot of them who refer to overweight and obese as the O words. They won't even say the words. They'll bleep them out like they're curse words. And I feel like their disdain is for good reason. These words carry so much stigma and shame, and we have used them as weapons against people to, I don't know, maybe shame them into improving their lifestyle. But when you really dive into BMI and where these categories even came from, it's really fascinating. And it really, that's what helped take the power out of those terms for me and made me just realize I don't need to stress about that BMI category anymore. And I want to get into why. But first, let's actually talk about where BMI even came from. This chart that we use, that so many doctors and healthcare professionals use, was actually created almost 200 years ago, I think maybe a little more than 200 years ago, by a Belgian mathematician. He wasn't even in the health industry. And he created it as a quick and easy screening tool for large populations of white males. The creator himself, he said that this chart should never be used to indicate the level of fatness or health in an individual. It was never intended to be used on an individual scale, let alone as a health indicator. It was simply an epidemiological tool to study large groups of, like I said, white males. So that's why a lot of people claim that BMI is actually a racist tool, because it didn't use Asians and African Americans and all these other nationalities when being created. And again, it wasn't meant to be used on a global scale like it is these days. And yet it's used all of the time in the health industry, partly because it's just easy, it's inexpensive, it's a quick and dirty, crude way to label somebody based on their height and their weight. Doctors, dietitians, other healthcare professionals are trained early on to use BMI as a screening tool. And you have to realize that the healthcare industry as a whole is very weight-centric, largely because of this, this focus on BMI. We are starting to see more and more health professionals in the health at every size arena, which is great, but they still make up a minority of people in that arena. And people in healthcare are still being trained very much with this weight-centric approach. In fact, I just had an appointment with my son, Tyler. He's got type 1 diabetes. And along with type 1 diabetes comes a whole host of other issues and risk factors, such as other autoimmune diseases. He has to get tested for like celiac and things like that, because a lot of times type 1 diabetics have issues like that. And another common problem is high cholesterol in diabetics. So we've been testing his cholesterol and it's been high the last few times. So they referred us to a pediatric cardiologist to kind of see what our next steps should be in regard to his cholesterol. And the doctor that we met with was actually really great. He was very educated, thankfully, in the latest research on cholesterol and how we used to think total cholesterol was an issue, but it's really the ratio, LDL to HDL. We used to think saturated fat, all things, sorts of things about saturated fat and eating cholesterol. And anyway, there's been a lot of new research come out. And he was very kind and great with my son and educated. But the one thing in the appointment that drove me a little bit crazy was when he said something to the effect to my son of, I can tell by your weight and your height that you have a healthy lifestyle. And so I'm sure that your high cholesterol is mainly because of, we have family history issues and of course his diabetes. And so because my son was in the quote normal weight category on the BMI charts, and probably because he knew I was a dietitian as well, I'm sure that played into his assumptions. But that he specifically pointed out the fact that he was at a normal, quote, normal weight for his height. He just assumed his lifestyle was healthy. Now, my son does have a fairly healthy lifestyle, but he's a teenage boy. He also has room for improvement on some of his eating habits. But that's what we do. We just assume these things. We assume somebody's lifestyle based on that BMI category. In fact, in dietetics school, we learned how to calculate somebody's, quote, ideal body weight, which seems so ridiculous to me to think that we have any idea what someone's, quote, ideal body weight is at any given time in their life. There's just so many factors that go into that number, like we've discussed on past podcast episodes. So like I mentioned, we are starting to learn that this BMI tool that we've used so much is quite flawed. And I want to get into some of those reasons right now. First of all, BMI does not take into account our body composition. So our fat versus our muscle versus the water in our bodies, our organ size. It doesn't account for our bone size and structure. Some people, like I mentioned, are just naturally bigger boned. Others are built more petite. Also, denser bones are healthier than frail, brittle bones. But the more dense your bones are, then the more they weigh. So that also can bump you into a higher BMI category. BMI also does not consider ethnicity, gender, other aspects of our health, our mental, emotional, self, spiritual, social health. It doesn't take any of those into account. And in fact, several really large studies have actually shown that BMI is very unreliable in determining somebody's physical health. In fact, there was a review of 26 different studies involving over 350,000 people that showed that those in the, quote, overweight category on a BMI chart, so a BMI of 25 to 30, actually had lower mortality rates. They lived longer than those in the, quote, normal weight category. So that's just definitely something to think about. We use this tool and talk about it as if you're in this overweight category, then you have a higher risk of all these diseases and lower mortality rate, but that's not what the evidence is showing. It really isn't until your BMI reaches over 35, which I think they used to call being morbidly obese, which is like the worst term, most dehumanizing term ever. I think now they call it class 2 obesity, but it isn't until you reach that point that there is any statistical evidence or significance to the number that shows an increased risk of disease or mortality. And again, that's probably due much more to lifestyle than to the actual weight itself. But there is some evidence that just a lot of excess fat on the body, since fat is metabolically active, just the weight alone can cause some issues. But speaking of those diseases that are often associated with a higher BMI, diseases like type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease, certain types of cancer, These can all be reversed through lifestyle changes, regardless of whether or not weight changes, or weight might drop a little bit, maybe like 5 or 10%, and reverse these diseases and cure these diseases. But then the person still remains at a much higher weight and can live a very healthy, disease-free life at that higher weight still. We have to remember that, again, correlation is not the same as causation. The same behaviors that tend to lead to weight gain are the ones contributing to these increased disease risks. And there's also strong genetic and environmental components, all that, that contribute to these disease risks that have nothing to do with weight. Also, we need to remember that people in all BMI categories can get those same diseases. We see people in the underweight category and the normal weight categories getting type 2 diabetes and heart disease and high blood pressure and all these. So it's obviously not simply the weight that's causing these diseases. The truth is that we can find perfectly fit and healthy bodies in each of the BMI categories. Like I mentioned, it isn't until we see the extremes, the really high and also the really low, the ones that are on the far end of the underweight spectrum, that's when we start seeing the problems arise. So this means that different people of the exact same height could have a weight difference of as much as almost 100 pounds and both be perfectly healthy at a great weight for their body and doing just fine health-wise. We have to remember that BMI also does not take into account where any excess fat is being stored on your body. We know that fat that's stored around your organs, around your abdomen, that's generally more harmful to your health than fat stored like on your arms or your thighs or your butt. Focusing on BMI also ignores behaviors. Even though it's a tool that's quick and easy to use, so is just having a quick conversation with a patient about their lifestyle. You can get much more valuable information about someone's health and their health risks by asking them a few simple questions about their produce and fiber intake, their activity level, if they smoke, their alcohol consumption. These behaviors give us far more information about risk factors than someone's BMI calculation. And the last reason I want to bring up that I do not like BMI and don't think it's very useful is that putting someone in a BMI category is very stigmatizing. Again, giving them that label, that overweight, obese label, it stigmatizes them. Research is clear that weight stigma leads to psychological distress, poor physical health, anxiety, greater suicide rates, greater chance of eating disorders and disordered eating, depression, substance use, psychological stress, and it also leads to weight gain. So putting people in these little boxes and these stigmatizing labels, I feel like is doing way more harm than the good that we're trying to gain from BMI. So let's talk again real quick about these O words. Overweight. Over what weight? Who's to say what weight is healthiest for you, for me? One person might be over the weight that would be healthiest for their body, even if they're in the normal weight category on a BMI chart. Someone else might be at a very healthy weight for their body, even if they're in the overweight or obese categories. And let's talk about this word obese. Again, there's so much shame and stigmatization that comes along with that label. It's kind of like the word fat. That word brings up all sorts of feelings and judgments because of how it's used in our society. So if terms like overweight or obese didn't have so much baggage that came along with them, that might be one thing, but they do. How we talk about those categories and people in those categories has been really problematic. And they're definitely not neutral terms, just like the word fat. It's not a neutral term in most people's mind. So those are the main reasons I do not like BMI. I don't think that it's a useful tool. But is there ever a time when BMI might be useful? Well, I think if it's going to be used as the inventor, the mathematician who invented, I forget his name, but as he intended it and as he created it, what he created it for, then maybe to study large groups of population, to kind of see general, you know, for whatever reason, general body sizes, see if those do correlate with diseases. I'm fine with using it as an epidemiological tool, like it was meant to be used as. People on the extreme ends of the BMI chart, the very high or the very low, perhaps you could justify it as a reason to have concern for those people, but again, do we really need a tool or a chart or a label for people like that? Generally, we know. And there are other better, more useful ways of finding out how to help those types of people anyways. I like what Lindo Bacon has to say. She's the author of the book Health at Every Size. She's not the creator of the movement Health at Every Size. I need to specify that because a lot of people do get that confused. But she did write the book that has kind of brought popularity to the movement. But she says, I think that this, meaning BMI, has been one of the most damaging tools in medicine today because what we know is that it's a very poor predictor of health and that, for example, there are many people that are in the overweight and obese categories that live long, disease-free lives, but yet they're put into these categories and told that they're unhealthy and told to do a lot of damaging things that then get in the way of their health. And that's kind of where I stand. I've heard doctors tell clients to go on the keto diet, to do this diet, do this weight loss plan because they're concerned about their BMI category. And that is damaging to their health. We know dieting does not lead to long-term health. And I've got a whole episode on keto planned for the future, so stay tuned for that. That seems to be one of the for whatever reason, a diet that a lot of the doctors, at least in my area, are prescribing. And that's just doing the opposite of what healthcare professionals really want, which hopefully is to help people have healthier, happier lives, not to reach some arbitrary weight or BMI category, especially at the expense of their health. So that's me on my soapbox about BMI. Hopefully you got some useful information. Again, especially if you are like I was and are giving a lot of weight and power to that category and that label that's been given to you, just know that there's no science really behind that label, and that the evidence is actually showing that those labels really mean nothing in terms of your health. And it's really the habits, it's the lifestyle changes, it's the behaviors that are going to have much, much greater effect on your health than whatever BMI category your body ends up settling in once you've established those healthier behaviors. So hopefully that helps you understand the issues around BMI a little better, around using terms like overweight, underweight, obese. I really recommend that you just cut those terms out of your vocabulary, especially if you feel they're not serving you, because they're just made up terms that really don't give us much information at all about your overall health. All right, thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you have a wonderful week. Have a wonderful Halloween if you're celebrating that. And I will talk to you next Thursday. Bye-bye. If you'd like help implementing what we've talked about today more fully into your life, come check out my self-paced program at helpthroughhabits.com. You'll use the science and tools of habit formation to help transform your health and your mindset. In just a few short weeks, you'll be able to add any number of healthy behavior and thought habits into your life so that you can enjoy finding true health for yourself. I hope to work with you soon.